You're listening to Invisible by Design, a community conversation about domestic violence on Northern Community Radio. I'm Heidi Holton along with John Bauer. All along the way in this project, we've been honored by the braveness of the people who have spoken out about the violence that they've had in their homes. Until we hear individual stories, I think it's easy to think, why wouldn't they just leave this situation? Why do people stick around for this? That's why this collection of stories has helped us understand an epidemic in our communities. In our next survivor story, we hear about how the violence in her home started.
I met my ex-husband. We dated for not even a year before we got married. And looking back now, I see different signs that probably should have stuck out for me, starting with like the clothes I wore. I mean, would say something negative. You look fat in that, or that's too tight, or you should wear something different. And I thought, well, I just wanted to please him. So that's kind of how it started. We got married and then chose to start a family right away. And I think I was probably just a couple months along when it got really bad, when things were probably almost at their worst.
And what was that?
The actual physical, the beatings and the hitting and the, it wasn't just verbal so much anymore. The verbal got much worse, the controlling. He controlled every aspect. I didn't work. I stayed home. He literally would tell me when I would come or go. I remember now that a lot of people just thought I had a hard time with my pregnancy, but it was just because a lot of physical stuff was going on. I think I was probably 4 months along. I think it was New Year's Eve. I got ambulanced to Duluth, where I went into labor, and the doctors questioned me, but I would always lie. You know, nope, I don't know why this is going on, why I have pain, when indeed it was because he had punched me so hard in the stomach that it had started the labor, stuff like that.
So was he there with you, like, when the doctor would ask that, or?
Yes, looking back now, yeah. I think that, well, I know that for sure my parents always knew. My dad would be furious that I would make excuses and then would just lie, and then I'd become really angry or upset if they would question. I mean, I knew that I was lying, but if they questioned it, I would get really, really upset about that. It was probably, I think my son was probably a month old when he had hit me so hard that I dropped our baby. And I remember we lived in a trailer court at the time, so a lot of people heard, you know, neighbors heard. But they were kids mostly that went to school with him, so they never would call. And then I remember one time I snuck a phone call into my dad when the incident happened, when I dropped our son, and my dad came through town. And I remember the chief of police at Deer River, he had heard inklings of stuff, and so when he seen my dad go through town, he followed up there, and then that was probably the first time the system got in place, because they kind of couldn't at that time, because I would never say he hit me. But this time, it not only left marks, but there was a child, so the state intervened, and he went to jail.
Why did you always cover for him?
'Cause he was always sorry, like the next day or... You know, sometimes the beatings would turn into where he'd be gone for 2 or 3 days drinking. And then when he'd come home, he'd be, I won't do it again. Sorry. I always believed he could change. Because I wasn't raised, I wasn't exposed to any of that.
What happened after that first time it had gotten the system? And
I think a judge put like a 90-day, I can't remember for sure. He went to jail for a few days, and then there was an OFP in place. And I think that was the first time he started anger management. And then his family lived right up the road from me too. So they would get messages to me, even though we weren't supposed to talk. They would be like, he's sorry. It's different.
I guess I'd like to talk about the experience in the hospital, when you're in the hospital and he's there, and obviously he's not going to say anything, and you didn't say anything. What does that feel like?
I actually remember mostly my parents arguing with his parents. My dad knew what was going on. So my memories of the hospital were of a lot of arguing and bickering in the hallway. And I just wanted it to stop. And it was because my dad knew what was going on. Generally, what would happen in a scene is they would keep my dad away from my ex-husband, because my dad was, truthfully, my dad wanted to show him literally how it felt. So usually his parents would defend him and just say it was between us. We would figure it out. We would work it out. Let us be. We're young. Things like that.
And how long did this go on? I mean, you talked about it was verbal at first, then it was physical. What's the time frame for this?
I think we stayed married for 12 years, probably. I left more times than I can remember. I probably left 5 or 6 times before I finally left for good. And by the time I did that, we had 2 children together.
And you came back because of the apologies?
Yep. I came back because I didn't know who I was without him by that point. I think he kind of stood for who I was somehow. He controlled so much that I didn't know life any other way. Verbal and emotional stuff, they don't ever heal. It doesn't ever go away. And you'll always carry that forward.
Did you fear for your life?
Yes, very much so. I probably was more scared after I left than I was during the marriage because of some things that happened when we were going through the divorce.
So what was it like after you left him and some of those times that you feared?
There was a house fire. My parents' house burned down. It was arson. The kids and I were staying there when it happened. I remember one time when I brought the kids to the safety center, my ex-father-in-law literally drove up behind my car at the exchange and just laid on his horn and revved up his engine where we had to call the cops. Gosh, lots of stuff through the court system, too. To this day, I even go to court probably 2 or 3 times a year.
Why? Why still to this day?
Well, now it's stuff over custody. It's just ridiculous things. Like, now that our son is getting older, he can give him more culture of being a man than I can. That was the last motion. Our son is actually almost 18 now, so my hope is then it will stop once he's 18 because it's not the same with our daughter. I try to protect the kids. Our son has lots of memories of it, but he chooses to not. He's kind of blocked it out. He was a couple times abusive to our son. Our daughter was very young when I left. She was probably only a year or two. So to be quite honest, there wasn't much interaction there. And when I first left, there was no parenting time allowed at first, and then it was supervised. And probably for several months, my kids, they were too scared to even go to the visits. So I would bring them to the safety center, and there was a therapist there, and they would never go. They would cry. My son would get sick. He'd throw up. I probably was almost 9, 10 months before the kids started having visits with their dad at the safety center. And then it was a process before he was allowed, gradual, unsupervised, and then it became every other weekend.
Do you feel that your son is still afraid of him?
I think deep down he is, but right now our son very much wants to please his dad. So right now he spends a lot of time with his dad, and I see certain things come through.
So how have you been?
Really good. Yeah.
What you're doing is very courageous, though.
Yep. I got a good job. I went back to college, graduated 2 years ago with my first degree, working on my second one now. A month ago, we bought a new house. Actually, it's going pretty good. It's when I have to think about what I went through to get here is when I get sad.
Is it something you think about every day? Do you have the ability to put it away?
Yep. I didn't for a long time. Lots of therapy, lots of counseling. Strong support system with the advocates. Strong support system at work. Without that, no, I don't think I'd be here.
Send us please, more time. We have been foolish so long, treating each other so bad, wasting all the gifts you give, making this old world so sad. Forgive